He's really not a guest to us. He's a part of our family here at Cross Point. Even though he comes once a year, he's a local. He's been a part of this community in San Diego for quite some time now, many years. And Brian is one of those individuals that I just highly esteem on many different levels. But one of the things I love about Brian is Brian has an ability to bring concepts and ideas and real creative ways of expressing what he has found in the scripture. And he brings it out into the light, if you will, and gives it to us. And oftentimes when I hear Brian speak, I'll be listening to him, I'll be chewing on it, and all of a sudden I'll go, oh man, what did he just say? And that's because he provokes me in my thinking. And I pray this morning you'd be provoked at some level to think more about what the Father is saying in this hour, in this season, in your life, your family, your community, your neighborhood, wherever you may live, whatever you may be doing. I pray that God would speak clearly to you this morning. So do me a favor this morning. It's really our privilege to introduce to you our friend, a co-laborer together in Jesus in the kingdom work, Brian Orm. Brian, come on up, my friend.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Whether you're in your living room, your family room, your backyard, your car, I'm coming up in your business this morning. It's great to see you guys in these strange times. I won't say unprecedented or new normal. I'm tired of those words. I'll just say strange or eclectic times. And so I wanted to share a little bit, you know, these times that we're in can be very revealing for us in our mindsets. And the leaven that's most influenced in our mind will be affected by the fires of a circumstance. And Jesus talks about different types of leaven in the scripture. And he says there's the leaven of the Pharisee, which is a religious response to something. The leaven of Herod, which is a political response to something. And then the leaven of heaven, which is the leaven of the kingdom, that there be a kingdom response. And so it's important to kind of assess how we're responding right now in the midst of everything going on. Is it a Pharisee? Is it a political spirit? Or is it truly kingdom? And don't shame yourself, throw yourself down into a bucket, but simply say, all right, maybe I need to shift the way I'm thinking about something so I can come into alignment with the truth of the kingdom of God, of who I am in Christ and who he is to me and for me. And then there's this guy I wanted to mention. You've heard of him. He's called Doubting Thomas, right? I mean, he's even got the name Doubting Thomas. And he kind of gets a bad rap, this guy. And he gets a bad rap because Jesus is risen from the dead. And he's like, I'm not sure about this. You know, I'll believe if I can touch this guy. And so Jesus brings him in. He says this in John 20, 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand out and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. This is an interesting interaction because he wasn't just like, hey, touch me from a social distance, just with your two fingers. He said, put your hand into me. So when Thomas, Doubting Thomas, put his hand into the body, the resurrected body of Christ, Thomas was changed at a molecular level. So much so that when you fast forward to the revival in India as the result of Thomas, the largest revival ever in the history of India is tied to Thomas. Yeah, Doubting Thomas. This is the guy who, after bringing his hand out of the body of Christ, something had changed so radically in him. There's actually a story where at a lake in India, people were throwing up water to their gods, and the water just kept falling down. And Thomas walked up and says, I don't think your God likes you. He goes, my God really likes me, and he's more powerful than any other god that you are trying to worship. And he says, when I throw my water up, it will stay in the air. So he grabs water, and the story goes, he throws water up, and it is suspended in the middle of the air. You know, Doubting Thomas. And so maybe we should shift our thinking about Doubting Thomas, because he had a radical encounter when he stuck his hand into Christ. And so whatever you find yourself in, whatever circumstance, whatever path in the midst of all that is going on, bring yourself into the reality of where you've been brought into, which is in Christ. You've been brought into him. Your whole being, spirit, soul, body, has now been connected to the life and the mind of Christ. Yep. Cool story, right? I mean, it's interesting because he's changed at a molecular level, and then he's manipulating the molecules of water that they're suspended in the middle of the air as a sign and a wonder. I love wonders. That's a wonder. It's not a miracle. It's a wonder. Wonders are amazing because it defies logic, and it brings, in the presence of a person, back to the reality of awe. It's like you're just in awe. Like, it's like your mind's going, I have no idea what's going on, but that's insane. And it brings us back to the wonder and the awe of childlike faith. But I want to talk to you a little bit today about wisdom. Really, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. This is a trinity that you see throughout Scripture. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Proverbs 24 says, by wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge it is filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Proverbs 3:19 says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. And then in Proverbs 8:30-31, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was his delight by day, rejoicing before him at all times, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and delighting in its people. So you can read pretty quickly in the book of Proverbs, especially Proverbs chapter 8. Wisdom is referred to as a woman, the master craftsman, at the side of the Father at the moment of creation, very involved in creation and very concerned and focused on those, you know, us. It says the habitable part of the earth. Wisdom rejoiced in the habitable part of the earth and delighted in its people. See, wisdom has kind of been made into this really super spiritual, nebulous type of a deal when we read very clear that wisdom is all about the earth. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom. And then wisdom took delight in the people of the earth. Wisdom is all about something being built. Wisdom is how do you do it? Where do you do it? When do you do it? Whom do you do it with? If somebody says, that person really is functioning in wisdom over there, and if there's nothing tangible to their life that is being built, I would question if that is wisdom or not. Wisdom, the expression of wisdom, will manifest in ways where something is being built that can be seen, touched, felt, experienced. Wisdom and understanding together, to me, are reformation. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. It is the convergence of heaven and earth together when you have wisdom and understanding working together. Understanding, you could say it this way, it's the revelation that you're seated under and with Christ. You're under his lordship, and yet you're seated with him in rulership over the earth. So we begin to understand that we're seated with him in heavenly places so we can stand firm in the earth because we are under the revelation that we're seated. So that's why Paul says when it comes to the enemy, just stand firm against him. You don't have to shadow box with him in the earth. You stand firm because you're seated somewhere else in a higher position so that you can stand in confidence in the presence of the enemy and be victorious because you're simply enforcing the victory of Christ and reveling in his triumph. And then wisdom, Proverbs 8:23 says, and before the world he was possessed by me, and from the beginning before he would establish the earth. Proverbs 8:2, on the top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, wisdom takes her stand beside the gates at the entrance to the city, at the entrance of the doors she cries out. And then Proverbs 24:3-4, I'll read this again. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wisdom, again, is all about building something. But it's not just building something to build it. Think of it as architecting mystery or administrating mystery. You're densifying something from the unseen so that it can begin to have a structure in the earth. And then heaven is attracted to that structure so that it carries the essence of heaven. So people begin to experience the kingdom simply by seeing something or tasting something. Think about Solomon. When he builds, he implements his father's vision. It wasn't even his own. The dad had the dream, right? And Solomon implements it. He does it. And then Sheba comes, and the story goes, she's looking at the placement, the design, the detail of everything. And in the Hebrew, it's basically the equivalent of she fell out in the spirit at what she was seeing. What was going on? There was a structure. Things were built. Things were placed. Things were designed that carried the essence of heaven. And heaven was attracted to it. So when somebody came into the presence of these things that carry the essence of heaven, she was so overwhelmed. You have to remember, this is a lady that's seen everything, right? She's got an obscene amount of wealth. She has seen all the stuff. And yet she comes into this vicinity and realizes this is beyond anything I've encountered. And she actually comes into an encounter and falls out. And then her response is to give Solomon $118 billion worth of gold, which is a lot of gold. And Solomon didn't need the gold. He wasn't like, hey, we're kind of struggling here a little bit. Her response is just, I'm going to bring this to you because I can't even fathom what I've just encountered. See, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices, the Proverbs say. How many want your city to rejoice? Then prosper. And God gave us power to prosper. Deuteronomy 8:18 specifically says, I've given you power to create wealth. It is specific to finance. I've given you power to see multiplication. And as a result of that, one of the things that will happen is the city will rejoice. The city does not rejoice when the righteous are in poverty. The city rejoices when they are prospering, when they're prospering in health, because they themselves become a sign and a wonder of another world, a world that is full of abundance. And then understanding is all about establishing that which has been built. So are you seeing this? By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By wisdom, a house is built. So wisdom's all about building. There's a structure that is built. Understanding comes to establish, and it's all about the heavens, to establish that which has been built so that heaven rests on it. That's what establishes what has been built, is heaven begins to rest on it. Think of you yourself. God wanted himself deposited within creation, a record of himself, so he created you. You're the only part of creation that bears the exact pattern of his image. Everything else does not. You're the only part of creation that's new. Everything else is old. So your manifestation as a son, as a daughter of God, begins to draw upon to you physical creation, old creation. It begins to groan for the revealing of who you are because you are carrying literally the record of God within you. So God wanted himself within physical creation, so he built a container called you. And then the Godhead has taken residence in the human frame. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God could have come in any form, right? Could have come as a unicorn. It could have come as a cheetah, you know, like a tree ent, like in Lord of the Rings, like the big trees that are walking around. Like, he could have done whatever he wanted to. Yeah, he's like, you know what? I'm going to take residence in the human frame so there's a record of myself. And then that human race will begin to walk around and be a sign and a wonder of another world. And as we begin to align together, that our minds align and they walk with the mind of God and the heart of God, then they'll begin to build what is on my heart and on my mind in the earth, so that what has been established in the heavens will begin to rest on that which has been built in the earth. And then you have Reformation. Reformation, it's bringing all the systems of the world back to their original intent in their original design. There's three guys I want to highlight because the way wisdom expressed in their life was different. You've got Joseph, you've got Daniel, you've got Solomon. Joseph, if I were to boil down who he was into one word, and I know this is simple, it's not like he's just this one word, but if I could put it all into one word with Joseph, it would be he was a multiplier. Any situation he found himself in, he's prophesying over anything that would move, and he's being promoted. There's multiplication happening. And then he gets promoted to a place where he's has governance over these commodities, and he's multiplying the commodities in a famine. He's working with payroll and all these different things, and he's seeing great multiplication. That's how wisdom was manifesting in his life. And he was being promoted in a dark system. He didn't come to destroy the system. He was being promoted from within the system. And then you've got Daniel. Again, if I can boil it down to one word, I'd say he was a revelator. The way wisdom expressed through his life was revelation. So the magicians are like, you know what, we don't know what to do here, so I think we probably should talk to Daniel. He's probably going to know what to do. Why? Because he had this pattern of when there's a solution needed and revelation has to flow, Daniel's going to be the dude. And then Daniel learned in this system, which was very dark, he learned their system. We don't like to talk about this part in church very much, but he actually learned witchcraft. He learned all their spells and incantations. He knew all of their stuff. And as he released revelation that was superior, he was promoted within this system. Again, Daniel didn't come to destroy the system. He didn't come to judge the system. He came to get promoted from within, to influence it from within, to change it from within. That's reformation, is you're bringing the system back to its original intent. You're not destroying the system. That's why we're called salt. We're called light. The kingdom, again, is leaven. It's influencing. Faith is like a mustard seed. Everything's about influencing from a small place and then beginning to increase from the micro to the macro. But it starts from, I have to have a love for the people in that system. Otherwise, I'm not going to have any influence in that system. Without love, there is no influence. And yet you see in the life of Joseph that he has a love for people, right? Everywhere he's at, if he's in the prison, he's not like, well, I'm in this prison. This is stupid. He's like, well, I guess I'll prophesy over that dude. It's like prophecy is driven by love, right? And he begins to love people. And as that begins to happen, the system, he begins to be promoted. And then his influence begins to increase because he had a love for the people in that system. If the body of Christ judges the people in a system and really judges a system, they will have no influence in that system at all. If I were to put it into a modern context, put Daniel into Hollywood. And he's in a dark system, right? Hollywood is a dark system. I think we could all agree with that. And so as Daniel's there, he's interpreting dreams over movie producers, and he's coming into actors and actresses' homes, and he's bringing revelation to them and solving riddles and all these parables. And he's being influenced, or rather, he's influencing the system. And because of that, producers are like, you know what? I'd like you to come to this meeting with us. It's actually all the head producers of all of Hollywood. I'd like you to share some things. We've gone to some psychics. We've gone to some shamans, and it's just not cutting it. But we have heard that you have a special kind of revelation. So now he's in this boardroom, Daniel, with all these movie producers who are shaping literally the nations of the earth with their movies. And now he has an ear to them. He begins to release revelation. And then they say to him, hey, would you help us form what movies will go out? We want you to have a voice in what movies and what the content is in those movies. So to put Daniel in a modern context, he's not judging Hollywood. He's not judging the people in Hollywood. He's being positioned because he has a love for the people in that system so that it can be reformed back to its original intent. So that the heart of the Father and the mind of God is permeating Hollywood. And then the third guy, Solomon. So I already mentioned Solomon, but he was an implementer. If I could put him into one word, he implemented his father's vision. And then this is my opinion, but I feel like the reason Solomon fell is because when he got done fulfilling his father's vision, he had no vision for himself. So he implemented somebody else's vision, but now he's like, well, what do I do now? And because of that, he kind of got bored and just went off the rails. And yet, when he implemented very well. He took something and he built it. He architected mystery. He took something that had an essence from another world and constructed it so that people would come into the vicinity, come into this facility, and encounter God. You know, there's this guy, Count Zinzendorf. He started the Moravian prayer movement. They prayed for a little while, a few years, over 100 years. And they launched more than, I think it was more missionaries in 20 years than all of Europe did combined the previous 100 years. But it all started with a painting. The story goes when he was 19 years old, he looked at a painting of Jesus. And he attributes his salvation experience to looking at this painting. So when we think about wisdom as building something, understanding is establishing it so that heaven begins to rest on a structure. Somebody painted this with wisdom. And then understanding came and heaven began to rest on this painting. And this 19-year-old begins to look at this painting and he comes into an encounter with another world. And as a result, there's this paving of a pathway where missionaries were sent all over creation to advance the kingdom of God. And it all started with one guy looking at one painting. So whatever God's called you to build, don't think of it like, well, I'm not building this huge thing. I wonder who the person was who painted the picture. Maybe it was their only picture. Like that was the one. And yet all of history was changed because someone painted a picture with wisdom and understanding, and that person comes into that place of encounter, and many, 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 many people come into the kingdom. So no matter how small you may seem, it may seem what you're building is, if you're building with wisdom and understanding, it will change the world. Yeah. And then back to Proverbs 24, wisdom's about building, understanding's about establishing. Then it says, by knowledge, that house is filled with rare and precious treasure. Knowledge to me is about renaissance. So you've got wisdom and understanding is about reformation. Knowledge is about renaissance. Many people, when they think about the renaissance, they think it just kind of spontaneously happened. Like just one day, just poof, there's the renaissance. When actually it was specifically planned and specifically funded. The Medici family in Florence, Italy, gathered artists, and they said, hey, we want you to paint pictures. We want it to look like this, and we'll pay you to do it. And they brought architects in and said, we want the city streets and the architecture to look like this, and we'll pay you to do this. They literally paved the way for a renaissance. It did not come by accident. It was planned. And I began to think with some friends. There's a group of us that began to dream about this. We said, what would it look like if we built an era? Like instead of fighting the future, instead of fearing the future, what if we actually built the future? Didn't wait for someone else to do this. Didn't wait for some organization or another group of people who don't know the heart of God and the mind of God. What if we just came together and started dreaming about building the future? I know it's audacious. It's very audacious. But it sounds kind of like God to me. And some people's eschatology, especially right now, it's making them afraid of the future and wanting to fight the future. I feel more hopeful than I've ever felt in my life. I believe what God's going to do and what he is doing, really, and what he's about to do is going to be absolutely, and we can use this word this time, unprecedented. It's going to be absolutely incredible what's going to begin to take place. And I believe he's asking his sons and daughters, would you dream with me beyond your capacity, beyond your education level, beyond your natural ability? Would you dream with me what is so much bigger than yourself? And let's build the future. So there's a group of us that have started this thing called Infinitivity. So there's a friend of ours, Fee, and she had this encounter with God. And in the encounter, she was like, I feel like creativity, the word, has reached a shelf life. And God said, Infinitivity. It's the crafting of infinity. It's the building and the constructing of infinity. So that whole architecting mystery, administrating the mysteries of heaven into the earth. And as we begin to have this conversation, ironically, we started having these conversations right when COVID hit in March. And we were meeting every week and talking about what would this look like and what's on the heart of God and what's on the mind of God. And now we're actually putting teeth to this thing where in 2021, the Lord spoke to us to have a gathering in Seattle. And when the Lord spoke to us, it's when Chaz was going on. So you remember the Chaz and the Chop Zone and all that stuff? The interesting thing about Chaz is his real name is Solomon. I find that really interesting. That this real guy's name is Solomon, and it's like the sound of the Emerald City is coming out, and this guy was responding. I'm not saying what was going on was great, but this guy kind of stepped in and responded to a sound of the city when maybe the kingdom should have done that. And the good news is I had a friend that was in the chop zone, and people were getting baptized and encountering God. Some of the leaders actually came to Christ and were baptized. It was amazing. God was moving in the chop zone while it was taking place, which kind of sounds like God to me. It's like, so some believers are like judging that whole place, and God's like, I'm just going to show up there and do some stuff. That just is who our Father is. And so God spoke to us about Seattle. It's the Emerald City. It's the Space Needle. The Expo used to be there. You've got the music scene that came out of there, tech that has come out of there. It's a very significant city. And so we're gathering quantum physicists and coders and artists and musicians to come together and say, what would it look like if we collaborated to build the future? I think that's kind of cool. To sit around a table and say, what would it look like if we specifically, intentionally built the future together? That as tech emerges, the kingdom is there. That as artificial intelligence expands, the kingdom is in there. That as all of this code is being written, that there are kingdom coders. That literally wisdom comes, and within the code, the essence of heaven is in the code. I know I can't hear you because I'm just speaking to a screen, but I hope somebody's shouting somewhere. Couple last things. Proverbs 8:12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. How many would love to have inventions released to them? Well, it's all about prudence. Witty inventions are tied to prudence. And let me back up a little bit, because it can be difficult when you're reading the book of Proverbs, when we think, well, wisdom is referred to as a woman. It's like, well, I guess it's poetry. I guess it's metaphorical. And I totally believe that until I actually encountered wisdom, like the person, wisdom. And she's a real person. This is not a concept. She's an actual person. And so when Solomon's writing about this person, it's not simply poetic. It's like there's a person attached to this. And it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, who seems to be another being. I'll let you sort this out with God yourself in Scripture. But it seems to me that wisdom and prudence are both beings that God utilizes, and prudence specifically to release inventions into the earth. Most inventions come through dreams, by the way. And when you track all inventions, the majority of them came through a dream. No one gives themselves a dream. You know what I mean? You go to sleep, and a dream comes. And I would guess prudence was probably involved in some way with those dreams, those witty inventions. My grandfather was an inventor. He was a moonshine runner back in the day, in the Prohibition day, before he knew Jesus. And he would create these contraptions under cars to transport alcohol across state lines. And then he encountered Jesus, thankfully, and then that inventiveness didn't leave, though, because then he started to invent other things. So he painted houses for a little while, and he constructed this telescoping pole. And this is back when nobody had these things. He was just trying to make his job easier. And so he was always inventing stuff. He invented a plastic clothespin. He didn't patent it, which was stupid, because it would have changed things for us a little more. But, you know, he's just like, I got this need, and he'd invent this stuff. And so I know, reading the scriptures, that prudence must have been involved with my grandpa, because that is the source of those witty inventions. And so I would encourage you specifically, go to Proverbs 8:12, begin to meditate on this verse, begin to dialogue with God, say, you know what? I'm open to some inventions. Like, I'm available. Like, if it's while I sleep, you want to bring an idea. If it's while I'm awake, I'm available for some inventions. How many know there are solutions needed in the earth right now in a lot of different ways? And they're available. They are available. And I believe the Lord's going to begin to release solutions that are going to be literally wonders to the world. Is it going to be so beyond logic that it'll be absolutely incredible? A couple weeks ago, I was on a prophetic roundtable. I was the only white guy. It was super fun. And we're sharing just what the Lord, we feel like the Lord is sharing. I said, I keep seeing children in such a level of intelligence that it'll be a sign and a wonder to the world. I see like children coders. And it was within a week, a 10-year-old girl has become the head of a department of coding. She's beyond every adult. She's 10 years old. 10 years old. And she's beyond anyone in this department. It's a massive department of coders that have studied this for years, and she's way beyond them. And I believe we're going to see this more and more and more, specifically with children, that it's going to be a sign and a wonder that this is God. God is resting on this child. This is not natural education. This is supernatural. This is divine intelligence. And now if we would just begin to lean in. And the last thing I want to hit real quick, another proverb here. Well, this is a good one. Proverbs 9:11. For by me your days will be multiplied. This is with wisdom. By me your days will be multiplied, and your years will be added to your life. How many would like to live long? Life extension. Does that sound good to you? Healthy life extension. You know, over in our area here in San Diego, they're actually working on, there's a facility working literally on immortality. It's not from a kingdom perspective, but I'm like, okay, if the world's focused on this, and then we read it right here. For by me your days will be multiplied. Years will be added to your life. Why? Because we have connection to wisdom. And this is the last piece. Proverbs 4:7-8. The beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding with all that you have. Esteem her and she will exalt you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. It's kind of crazy, right? Just talking about wisdom. Esteem her. Exalt her. Or she will exalt you. What does that mean? You honor wisdom. If I honor a person, I will see them correctly because I'll see them the way the Father does. If you honor angels, for example, you'll begin to start seeing more angelic activity around your life because you're leaning in. If you just begin to honor what God is doing, you're going to see multiplication. Just honor is a huge deal. So here's a really practical step. Begin to dialogue with the Father and say, Father, I just thank you for wisdom. I honor wisdom. I just declare to wisdom, I honor who you are, that you took delight in the habitable part of the earth and in the people of the earth. I want to build what's on your heart, God, and I want to build what's on your mind, but I need wisdom. So I'm going to honor wisdom today. I have a friend, he was in the Cayman Islands in March, right before COVID hit. And he was there to speak. It was a mutual friend of ours. And he goes to his hotel, it's 10:30 at night, and he feels this presence behind him. And he feels a hand on his shoulder. He's like, is this an angel? Is this like God? What's going on? And he just knows. He has a knowing that it's wisdom. And he hears this voice says, go to this bar right now. So he goes to this bar. It's 10:30 at night. Everything had already been shut down in Cayman Islands. So nobody's out on the streets. There's two people in this bar. So he sits down, strikes up a conversation with these two people. And they're having a good time talking about stuff. One of the guys goes off to the bathroom, and the guy who remains, he says, do you know who that guy is that you're talking to right now? He says, no. He goes, he's the leader of the Cayman Islands. He says, he would never come to a bar like this because there's tourists all the time, but all the tourists are gone, so he just wanted to get a drink. And this guy showed up, and right after is when wisdom came to my friend and said, just go to that bar. And all of a sudden, when this guy comes back, my friend gets a download to this guy, the leader of the Cayman Islands, for strategy for his nation. This is why I'm saying wisdom is about something very tangible. It's something that can be measurable in the earth, that it begins to manifest and be expressed, whether we're going to be a multiplier, a revelator, or an implementer. And I just speak over you today. Father, we just thank you for wisdom. God, we thank you. We honor wisdom, the one that was with you, the architect of creation, the one who has taken delight in the habitable part of the earth, that long life is in her hands, riches and honor are in her hands. And we just say yes to the wisdom that you have for us, Father. We want to build what's on your heart. We want to build what's on your mind. We need help. We know there are solutions. We're available. We know there are inventions. We are available. So even just say that right where you are right now. God, I'm available for wisdom to flow, for prudence to flow, so that there would be solutions, so that there would be witty inventions, so that there would be something built in the earth that would carry the essence of heaven, so that it would be established. And reformation would come to our systems, and renaissance would be released into the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys.